What's new on your end?
Well, the last time you and I talked, you were kind of jumping out of your skin with excitement, and because you had just brought in or potentially bringing in a very large client. How did that go, and what's going on?
Yeah, I'm trying to think the last time we spoke. So, I mean, yeah, the last 12 months have been really good. I had won a very large client with cooperation from our PWM folks. That was end of last year. Then I had a existing client who had a liquidity event through sale of a business at the end of the last day of the year. And so that basically led into beginning of this year. So, you know, things are, you know, really good on my end. And then just, you know, just general business, in the progress of talking to a few prospective clients, which have come via referrals from a client that I am doing Supernova with, running kind of regular calls. And so it's nice to kind of see that work well. So yeah, I'd say everything's kind of moving along good. I've got a client who I set up with our investment banking folks, and there's some potential that, you know, there may be an IPO opportunity there, and then he would have a liquidity event. So, you know, that's probably late in the year or next year. But that's kind of exciting too. That would move the needle. So yeah, so, you know, just keep, you know, keeping the push forward. And, I think the tough thing for me is going to be, just thinking Supernova is incorporating Supernova. And then, now that I'm maybe getting some new clients in, it's like, okay, well, I don't want to start building it up again. So I have, the same number of clients I had before I started. So I need to kind of go back to kind of shifting, looking for ones to shift maybe. So, you know, I think I'm going to have to kind of revisit that, maybe use the summer as that opportunity, look out and do that. What else is going on? One thing I found with kind of the Supernova process too is I tried to kind of block certain times for people, and I much prefer running a recurring schedule. But now that I've got those set up, you know, I've got some stuff kind of scattered around, and I kind of need to consolidate. And I guess it's just reaching out to this client and saying, hey, can we shift your time to this or this date? Because I am finding now that we're getting out there a little bit more, and maybe, you know, trying to have meet up with a client or something like that. It's like, geez, I'm on calls all the time. I don't have time to leave my desk. I sometimes feel like that on certain days. And so I've thought about maybe the best approach to that, and love to hear any thoughts you have, is maybe to really just make sure I consolidate that stuff to a certain number of days and leave days open where I can, cause I have that flexibility because of the number of clients where I can have be meeting people. Cause I definitely don't want to be in the situation where things open up and, you know, I definitely, you know, I feel like I can't leave, right? Or I just have to be canceling all those calls for the month. I don't want to do that consistently. So.
Right. Okay. So two good problems, right? By the way, those two clients, what did they represent in terms of assets?
Well, the one from last year, I think we talked about before. I mean, so we're getting 50% of that we're sharing with PWM, but he has about 60 million net after he paid his taxes. I think that's where we're at. Or actually, I mean, I can see it's, sorry, 70 million. His net worth though is probably 110 to 120 based on some existing ownership of in the existing business that he sold. He kept an ownership stake, so that could be a liquidity event further down the road.
So that's about 35 million then.
Yeah, And then the other client, it works out to about $20 million net.
That's great.
On taxes.
Now, are you able to get a reasonable rate of return on that money, or what's that look like for you?
What do you mean by reasonable rate of return?
A lot of times people, you know, they have $70 million. It's a pretty tough negotiation.
Oh, you mean in terms of that? We're doing 40 basis points on the 70, but it's being invested over time, so we're not charging on cash. I let the PWM – so that was one where I ran an interview process on behalf of the client with PWM, and so I let them kind of pitch their cost structure. For the other client, I think it's about 65 basis points.
Okay. Well, that's pretty fair. That's not bad.
Yeah.
I'd say if you do business all day at 65 basis points. The 40 is a little tough, but,
No, I'm not doing all the heavy lifting on that one necessarily, right? I mean, I'm coordinating a bit.
They're running the whole show then from now on?
They're not running the whole show. They're handling all the investment piece and, they are doing some of the coordination, and then I'm kind of pitching in on some of the coordination.
So are you doing your 12-4-2s with him?
I am doing a regular recurring call with him. Yes, on a monthly basis as a check-in to just make sure we're addressing anything that's a priority for him.
Right. Same with the other, right?
Yes. Now the tough thing with the $70 million one, and where he's talked to me about wanting to set up a family office too, and it's like, how will we play a role in that? So I've got to talk with him about that. I mean, I think it'd be more cost effective for him to continue to leverage us. Right. And have a kind of an administrative person, maybe someone with some legal background for structuring or tax, and let us run the investment. That's kind of,
he doesn't have enough money for a family office group.
Yeah. I mean, or he's going to end up spending 2% of his assets to run a family office, which then he's got a return hurdle he's got a high return hurdle, right?
So
he's got
right. And who do you trust? Who do you trust running that? You know, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, $70 million is, I know that sounds like a lot of money, but it isn't.
Yeah. Family office wise. Yeah, for sure.
I wouldn't start a family office unless I had $300 million, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be stupid. I mean, it's just a waste of money. And who are you going to get? I mean, you can get you and the PWM and
right.
That brand.
Yeah, our family office resource people, and, you know, we're getting them involved. We just had a great family governance call with a guy who spent 20 years as a partner at a major law firm. And ran the estate planning practice. He's a Morgan Stanley employee. And, you know, instead of being a couple $1,000 that the client was charged for the call, it's free, right?
Right.
Because it's part of, how we serve.
Yeah, just tell him, look, we're going to build your virtual family office group. And when you're not happy with what we're doing, let us know. I mean, let's do this because it's going to cost you, I mean, $2 million.
Yeah.
Family office.
Right.
Right? I mean, that makes no, to me, anyway, that makes no sense. But a good conversation. Yeah, you just have to put down exactly what it is that he gets with the family office. And then how are we going to provide those things so that it seems as though.
Right.
He's got a family office group. He's not really having to give up anything. Except the expenses.
Right.
Right. And if you guys need to charge him more, tell him.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, that could be something where it's like, I don't mind devoting more time to something like that. But, you know, rather than, you know, if you were trying to hire someone like me, right, it's going to cost you X to, right? Why, you can pay us a fraction of that, and we're handling the whole investment process, bringing all this. Why would you do it any other way? I mean, it's
just tell them, if you really want to pay 2%, we'd be happy to charge you 2%. You know, but don't, I mean, we don't think that that's a good use of your capital, and you can get better talent here than you're going to get with a family office group. He may just not want to bother with a lot of that, but it's like running a company. You know, he wants to hire a CEO, you're his CEO.
Right.
Okay, or he wants to hire a chief financial officer, you're his chief financial officer. But he can't resign the fact that that money belongs to him. And ultimately, he'd have to fire the family office group. I think he's taken a lot of risk in hiring a family office group.
Yeah, well, he's chewing over that. And I mean, he wants my perspective on that. And it doesn't mean he wouldn't use us, right, for things. But it's just one of these where, yeah, I'm just saying, yeah, I just don't see how that, from an expense standpoint, that really makes sense unless you just take the view, hey, you know what? I'm just going to kind of spend through this money over time, and I'm okay with that. But it doesn't make sense for me. So, but it's good to hear you kind of have the same perspective.
I mean, 70 million dollars, you can go through that pretty fast. You'd be surprised. You get stupid in terms of net jets and lots of spending and houses and multiple houses and a lot of cash flow going out. You gotta be very thoughtful. I think doing a family foundation, you know, and organizing that and running that and, you know, having a governance committee and, you know, having all that can really build the family unit, and make them all very smart when it comes to the future of that money. But, you know, if he wants to do that, I highly recommend that, by the way.
Yeah. And he definitely wants to do some type of foundation. So that's maybe where he should be focusing.
I think that's, you know, that's a great way to go. You get your family involved. You get a mission, purpose, and then you go make a difference. And the money is, whether it's 7 million or 70 million, that doesn't, honestly, that's just another zero. It's managing the cash flow and focusing on managing the expenses. He sounds like he's done a really smart job up to now, but I just think that's, it's like trying to buy your own aircraft.
Right.
You know, not smart. You know, certain things you just shouldn't do. Big yacht, you know, $100 million yacht, you know, something stupid, you know.
Yeah.
Even a $30 million yacht. I mean, that's honestly, in that world, that's peanuts, 70 million. You know?
Yeah, so he's getting a new boat. I think it'll be a few million. He's got that. And he's not got real expensive tastes, but you stack enough things up, you know, a few more homes. He has one now, a couple homes in a couple places, which I think he wants to do. An admin person who's highly, you know, who will do a lot for him. It adds up, right? Health benefits for these people and everything else.
I watch people come into Boca Grande and join all the clubs and buy the big boat and have the aircraft. And 2 years later, they're bored. They've decided that Boca Grande isn't the place they want to be. They sell the house, they sell the boat, sell the house. You know, it's like, are you kidding me? You know, take it easy. You know, slow it down, man. Slow it down.
Yeah.
Find out, you know, where you want to live. Take your time. And just be prudent. Don't act like, you know, I mean, you can't say that to them, but don't act like new money, right? Think of it as money you inherited and it has lasted for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you should treat it.
I do have to cut at 11 for another call, so I don't want to steal airtime here. I know Stefan's.
No, it's a good conversation, though. I
think. Yeah, no, good conversation. Rob, good. How are you?
Good, Stefan. How are you? But just back to Charles, two things. One is segment, okay? That's why we annually segment our practice. So go back and you're having all the good problems. Segment your book, okay? Reassign them to somebody else, smaller clients. And then make your calendar based on your lifestyle and what you need to accomplish, not on what you set up originally.
Okay.
Cause when we set up these calendars originally, we just put them down wherever, cause we've got all the time in the world.
Right.
And everybody knows that, you know, we've got lawyers have court dates, right? So they can't be available. Doctors have operation times. So you'd figure out when your time is that you need to meet with clients. A Tuesday I meet with clients, you know, Monday and Wednesday I do all my calls, or Monday, Wednesday and Thursday I do my calls. Tuesday and Friday I'm off and have the ability to meet clients, prospecting. And then, you know, 5 week months give you the ability to, have a vacation, right? So when you're thinking about, okay, I got to take a week, I need a week off. I need a week. Or I want to take 2 weeks, which is crazy. Just pick those 5 week months, January, April, July, and October. They're not always exactly 5 weeks, but they're close.
Yeah.
That gives you some extra time. And you can also use that time for makeup time for calls and things like that. But, you know, I love the idea of having a calendar that's set for the year rather than set for the week or the month.
Yeah.
And clients do too. Your big clients want to know, you know, they don't want to have appointments changed and things like that. They know things come up for them and for you, but you don't want to be, you know, jumping around.
Sure. Yeah. I like everything set. Like that's my personality. So
me too. You know, and that's why, you know, we're more productive and everybody, it was interesting. Miranda, I got a chance to just, when she first got on, I asked her what, and she said, I'm as productive as I was, but you guys are more productive. I think is what she said to me, is that you're more organized and you're using your time better. And so make sure so pretend you're going to start over with your schedule and your book, and look at your book again, like you did the first time, and said, you know what? I like having 36 clients, you know, that's good. I don't want any more. All right. Whatever the number is, because you're obviously very productive with your time. Yeah. And the more time you have to bring in clients like these guys, the better everybody on the team will be happy.
And Stefan maybe can talk to a little of this. It's a little still in the works. We're trying to figure it out. But one of the things we're going to try to do too, I think, is set it up so Miranda can be helping me. So we'll have kind of more coordinated, system and team. And then possibly being able to expand from there, right? In terms of how our revenue supports, the team and everything.
Yeah. I mean, and having other people get registered and take on more responsibility and handle smaller clients is good. If you don't want to give them away, then build your vertical team, you know, with other.
Miranda's done a great job in terms of, she's getting engaged on the investment side. So, you know, I think that's an area she wants to get more engaged with. And so, you know, she's making really good progress there. I know she's online. So, here. And so that's something I think, you know, we want to continue to do and make sure she does more of that, right? That frees all of us up even more, right?
And then Miranda gets an assistant or a summer intern or somebody to leverage your time and then hire that permanent person.
Yep. Okay.
So Stefan, we're just talking about issues as we, our business matures, right? And we're into Supernova now, and the challenges that you're having, and are they similar to what Charles is talking about, or are they different?
Yeah, no, I mean, time is still the biggest challenge for me, trying to prioritize what I should be doing versus what I'm doing. So I wish I could say it's been a significant improvement the last 6 months. It probably really hasn't. I think we've got the roadmap how to get better and how to improve. It's just, you know, people not in the office, COVID just hasn't gotten to where I want to get it to, but I think we're on the right track. So, you know, coming from a place of disarray, like you and Charles are very much, you know, you like knowing everything. I've not been like that. So I'm excited, and I feel like having some set scheduling and just, you know, here's who I need to talk to. Here's what I need to do. Every day is way better for me long term. So, it's good, but things are starting to open up here, getting out in front of people and, you know, trying to fill that schedule as much as I can. So, brought on some good clients recently, nothing huge, but, you know, some, you know, low seven figure clients, you know, thus far through the year, and, you know, just trying to get out and about more. And again, trying to find the time to do other things I need to do to set up those meetings and get back in front of people that I've kind of missed this last year. So I guess my biggest struggle is delegation, you know, where I should be spending my time versus where I should be offloading it. So, that's the biggest thing. And then the other thing, while I have you, I've got a few different meetings in the next few days of like people on the fringe of there may be some duplication and overlapping in our offerings versus others' offerings. So, you know, a commercial lender that's at a bank that I'm sure they're getting a referral fee to send that client to their advisory group, right? And CPAs that like to dabble, you know, maybe in the advisory, you know, get paid twice. So, I mean, any suggestions on how to maybe just kind of cut to the chase and, you know, things you've experienced over the years, you know, in these kind of fringe, you know, centers of influence and people that I should be going to, you know, start working with potentially, but I just want to make sure it's not a waste of everyone's time.
Right. Right. I think you just have to be honest with them and just say, you know, here's, you know, a good relationship with us will generate potentially this kind of client. Okay. I'm not going to pay you for that. Right. I can't,
yeah.
You know, I can't pay you for that. I can't pay you for introducing that client to me, which is who we're interested in. But, you know, how many of those a year? I mean, I'm handing you revenues one way or the other, right? If I refer you five clients during the year and they produce $10,000 each, you know, that's $50,000 I'm handing you. I don't need to really pay you if I'm doing that, right?
Right.
And in return, you send us a $7 million client. Don't think about, you know, just know that it will work out in time.
Right.
You know, we can't pay you for that, but we can pay you with introductions. And you know, that's what any business, real business relationship is all about. So, and if they can't do that and they insist on getting paid, then you can't do business with them. Right.
Okay.
And that's fine. It's fine. You just move on to the next one. But, no, these, you know, it's kind of payola, you know, under the table, send me this and more, you know, mortgage or this commercial line and I'll give you this. And you don't really want that.
Yeah.
You know, but you can introduce them, but you've got, plus it's, you know, you want to introduce them to people with integrity, right?
Sure.
You don't really want somebody that's got their hand out all the time. You know, that's,
right.
So it's more like India, you know?
Yeah, right, right.
But, back to your situation. Have you gone back and examined? I mean, basically what Charles is talking about, he's too busy for his existing book right now. He'd like to skinny it down some more. Having a few issues that, for, in terms of his organization and structure. Where are you in terms of your practice assigning clients to Miranda, to schedule them? Is that 100%? Have you segmented away all your small accounts, or are you still struggling with both of those?
I'm still in the process of that. Struggling, I wouldn't say struggling, because I'm definitely making strides, but I'm not complete. So, you know, I know we shouldn't be using the ABC client terminology, because they should all be A clients, but you know, the larger clients, I think we've got kind of dialed in for the most part. But again, this year, a lot of what I'd call that, I don't know, the half million to a million clientele, I've probably not spent the time and energy yet to really get them dialed in. And then, you know, similarly, I've not yet, you know, Tyler and I have talked about it, Rand and I have talked about it, but it doesn't seem like it's as easy as just putting a list together and then cutting clients. Apparently, if it's a real small client, you can't cut bait here at Morgan Stanley. If they have X, Y, and Z, you can't cut it. So there's still too many clients on my book, which we'll continue to work on.
How many households do you have now?
I still probably am around 200. And then the other dynamic, which I feel like I've mentioned for sure in the past, but I don't think we talk about it often. I'm also helping another advisor retire. So, the good news in that is that it's not 2,000 households. It's, you know, we're really focusing on his core book, but I mean, I think it's fair to call that another 50 households or 30 to 50 households that we're really focusing on. So I'm pretty slammed right now.
So your A clients, how many of those are there?
Of the A clients, I don't have it in front of me, but I'd say, let's say 30 to 40.
Okay. So you've got 30 clients basically in Supernova.
Yeah, it may be a little more than that total, but of the larger ones, yeah.
And even if you did 4-1 with the next 70,
yeah,
you'd still be in trouble.
Right.
So where can you send them that will make you comfortable? I mean, do you need to hire another person?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where we are right now is, what do we do? Do we offload? Or, I mean, I feel between Miranda next year having capacity in her new role and Tyler having capacity, I mean, I think there's opportunity to just, you know, kind of continue to keep it within, or not all, but keep a majority of those clients within the practice. So I don't think we would need to hire someone additional beyond that. I mean, we would replace our, you know, Miranda and have an assistant fill her shoes. And then, you know, have Miranda play a larger role along with Tyler. So, you know, I think
right.
I think there's room, but the efficiencies, in getting there has been a real drag. It's not really been overly productive the last 6 months, I'd say, in getting there. So that's kind of what I mentioned earlier. We need to figure that out.
Okay, we have a few more minutes. This is a big deal, okay? You guys got to do some work here.
Yeah.
I mean, you're wasting your productivity.
For sure.
And Charles, step in here, buddy. Bring the hammer down.
Yeah, maybe I will have to at some point.
Come on, think about it. Look what you're doing and look how, and you're too busy. Look what Stefan's doing.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Yeah. Maybe I can help you pull the ripcord on some of those.
Come on. Yeah. This is what teams are supposed to do. They're supposed to lift each other and help each other and push each other and stop.
Yeah.
What Stefan's doing is he's not dealing with an issue. Okay. And the economics are about as good as the economics of the guy starting the family office. Okay. Hiring another person and all that stuff. It doesn't work. The math doesn't work. Oh, do the math. Tell me. Finally it works. Yeah. First time it works. Hiring somebody to manage comps that don't pay you anything. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, I don't know, I think we need to revisit, and we're long overdue for this as a team anyway. So, you know, I think once we get clarity, if Charles is able to have Miranda directly help, and I think it's a good time to kind of revisit roles, responsibilities. Charles is very much focused on that investment side. So, of your roles, that is easy to put him there. You know, for me, the hunter gatherer, bring in assets, it's easy to put me there. But we really need more of like that COO. We need some other things internally because, I think Charles and I are best doing those things. And to your point, I mean, it's inefficient right now. So we'll figure it out.
Yeah, but you gotta not just say we'll figure it out, okay? You gotta say, okay, yeah, we're going to figure it out. We're gonna do it
yeah,
this month. It's
between right
now and the time you talk to me the next time, I want you to have it figured out, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And I want you to not do this sometime this year in terms
right
of, I want you, Miranda, time we'll step up tomorrow, yesterday, and take on, 7,500 clients and run them.
Yeah.
Okay. And with your help, and then hire a full-time, CA to take her place. She teaches her and get them ready. And cause you got to get this productivity up. Okay.
Yeah.
You're wasting your time. These clients are there. Seven-figure clients are there, but you're not going to get them if you don't have time to get them. Okay? Because you're managing 200 people that are wonderful, but you outgrew 5 years ago. Okay?
Yeah.
So you gotta take the plan that you have for some time this year and do it this month. Okay? And you're not going to hurt yourself. It's not like, oh my God, I could kill myself doing this. No, none of this. There's no penalty for doing any of this. It's all good.
Yeah.
And it's not that expensive. Okay. Especially if you're taking on another FA, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, I hear it from you. I mean, you're not even in the ballpark of where Charles is trying to figure out what days he can have off to go prospect. I mean, come on. You're on that little, you know, that little treadmill gerbil's on, right?
Stephon, to his credit, still getting out there and, you know.
But that's his nature. He's going to die if he doesn't go out there and bring it. But every time he brings one in, it just means more work. And it just, it's like me wanting to, you know, I want to bring in more clients and then I really don't. Okay. Cause I'm too busy. So it's please give me a referral. No, not so much. Cause you're too busy. So if you have that mentality, you're not going to be as hungry as you should be and you're going to miss things. You're just going to miss them.
Yeah.
You're just going to miss those opportunities because you're not jumping on them because your energy.
Definitely.
It's just not, your energy is just not there. You just, I'm good. I'm good.
Well, I mean, it's energy to your point. I don't disagree with that, but it's also just like, well, you know, I don't have time. There's like, you know, okay, 10 people I should be getting in front of. I've got to do other things and put out other fires. And,
all right. So visualize for a second. You have 50 clients.
Yeah.
Those 30 plus 20 more that you say I'm promoting to being a client. And after that, I don't have anybody. Somebody else has got all of that busy work and they're giving them a good experience. What's that worth to you?
Yeah.
Just pretend you were starting the practice over again and you had to double the business. The only way you could possibly double that is by giving away all those clients and saying, I'm only going to keep 50. Then you have time to go and bring in another 50. Okay.
Yeah.
Otherwise you don't have a chance.
How much revenue do those in that example? Stuff on like 100 clients, 150 clients. I mean, how much are they generating? Have you looked at that?
You're saying after the top 50 or?
Yeah, take the top 50 or top 75, you know, something like that.
And I'm not going to be able to quickly pull it up, but I mean, I would say it's, the top 50 are definitely, let's just say, 60 to 70% of the revenue, if not, you know, 80. Closer to 80, right? So, you know, I, my gut says that's the right number. So, you know, that's, something we need to figure out.
Yeah. I've got maybe an idea on that, too. So yeah, we'll have to talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, this is what I'm here for, guys. I mean, that's what I do, right? That's where we started a year ago, right? And, even more, right? 7, 15, 20. So it hasn't been that long, but, almost a year. But this is it. This is where we start, right? We start with segmentation, then we go to organization, then we go to acquisition. And it, don't think that this is the first time anybody, human being, has done this. Okay.
Yeah.
And don't think that everybody, if it didn't work, I wouldn't be here. Right. If it didn't work, and if it didn't work, there'd be no PWMs, right? Just think about that, right? Those guys give up virtually everything except for clients with 5 to 10 or 10 to plus million and do that all the time.
Yeah.
And maybe I've got to jump. I bought myself an extra 10 minutes, but
no, thanks. This is good. So you got your assignment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Figure it out. Seriously.
All right.
If you need me, email me or call me. I'd be happy to help.
Thanks, okay. Rob. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Rob. Have a good one. Okay, see ya.
Bye-bye.